Good morning. It's time for the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64?
Good morning. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And good morning. I'm Phil Vacchio.
And this is the Herzog Law Firm Estate and Medicaid Planning Show, where we answer your questions. It is a call-in show. You can give us a call at 518-476-5900, or you can visit us at one of our four offices now in Kingston, Albany, Saratoga. And then, Phil, why don't you talk about the new office?
Queensbury. We are officially up in Queensbury. We have, new space being built out, but we have space where we can see clients right now. It's over on Bay Road, 719 Bay Road. Am I right about that?
Yes,
yep, up in Queensbury,
right.
Very nice area. So if you're in that location, you can come and see us, make it more convenient for you than coming down to Saratoga.
Hey, you guys got it covered.
Yeah,
that's right.
Up and down the Northway.
All right. Nice.
We have it covered. That's a great office. Very nice. Looking forward to doing business up there.
Very exciting. Yes.
So today, quite icy and snowy out
there. Yeah, I didn't know if you were going to make it in. How is it out by you over in Massachusetts?
Yeah.
It's pretty icy. You know, one of the things we talk about, you know, seniors living at home and are they safe and that stuff.
Today's a good day to check on them.
Today would be a good day to check because it's very icy out there.
And maybe help them if it's shoveling, maybe you're clearing the sidewalk or the steps.
Right, sanding, kind of salting is important.
Yeah, you want to do that. Yeah.
If you have elderly neighbors out there, go help out.
Yep, absolutely right. Yeah.
I know, but at our building in Albany, there's so much salt.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, outside.
It's a legitimate layer of salt.
You track
salt.
It in all the way down
I know.
The hall. And,
yeah. It's everywhere.
I don't like using it at home because you bring it inside, it makes a big mess.
Yeah, I know. So and sometimes that's all you got and you got to use it.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Might not be a better alternative, but.
Yeah, that's right.
But you made it, Jane Marie. You did.
You guys both made it through the ice and snow.
I made it. That's right.
I was out there last night at like 10:30 shoveling because I didn't want it to all freeze.
Right. You got more snow, I believe.
I think so. It was relatively heavy. So.
Yeah, right. It was. Yeah. Heavy and wet. Then it got colder and now we have ice.
That's what happens.
Yeah.
We are in the thick of winter right now.
Boy, are we ever.
That's
tomorrow
right.
is Groundhog Day, so we'll find out if the groundhog sees his shadow.
Hopefully, Puxatawny Phil? Is that his name?
Puxatawny Phil.
Puxatawny Phil.
A big celebration in Puxatawny, Pennsylvania. Getting underway probably very soon. And they go all overnight to the wee hours of the morning with live music and all kinds of party stuff.
Have you gone, John?
Yeah. There's a live webcam that you can watch. It's pretty cool.
That's what I'm doing. My Sunday's set. Here we go.
That's right.
Watch that groundhog all day.
That's it. You got to get up early to see the groundhog. It's like, I think he comes out of his hole about 7 o'clock, maybe sooner. Now. So it's very early in the morning.
What a crazy tradition. Who came up with this stuff?
And they love it. The people love it. It's great. They do. It is cool.
That's great.
So, Jamie, I mentioned to you yesterday afternoon, my wife Jen sent me an article that I thought was interesting, and it's a little bit of a variation of something that we've seen in the past and that we've been, to a degree, recommended to clients as an option. But so this new thing that people are doing, they're calling them granny pods. I didn't come up with the name.
Nope.
I think with the name, but that's what they're calling them. These granny pods.
And so I had read about them also.
You saw them, right, separately?
Yeah. I had seen them.
I heard that. Well, what are they? I've heard about it, but what is it?
So, you know, it's been around for a while where you can buy like a prefab home, little home on like Amazon or online, right? It comes to your house, you build it yourself.
Okay.
That idea, I feel like, has been around for at least a few years. I've been seeing that. And this is a little twist on it where it's almost like a high-tech prefab cottage. Mm-hmm. And you can purchase online to deliver it to your house. You put it together. It's supposedly fairly simple. I guess you have to be somewhat handy, I would assume.
I would think so.
I think it's more than putting together a bookcase.
I wouldn't want that job.
Right. A little more than putting together an IKEA bookcase, I would think.
Right.
And I think you still have to run like electric and plumbing to it.
But sure. Yeah.
Essentially, you're building a little cottage in the back for your elderly parents. Not just grannies, grandpas as well.
Right.
I don't want to limit it to just the elderly woman or either or. But so the idea is you're instead of going to a nursing home, instead of going to an assisted living, if you have a situation where this would work for you. I mean, I work for everybody. If you have a very tiny backyard, obviously, it wouldn't work. But it allows your parents to stay with you on site. You can get care in place, and instead of in a nursing home, and it's just living there, they're at your home with you, but a separate home.
That's why it's nice, I think, because a lot of people would want to help their parents, but, you know, when their parents are still somewhat independent, they still want their, you know, own separate living quarters.
Yeah, completely separate.
Oh, yeah.
Totally separate and apart, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. And you may not have the room to do that in your house, so here you can put this pod out in the backyard, and they have their own space to live.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really great because you can keep an eye on them as they age, as they perhaps become more incapacitated. Mm-hmm. You could bring home health aides in.
Yeah. Right, and then those aides are not in your, you know, living space as well.
Keep an eye on things, mm-hmm. yeah.
And
so it's one of those little houses, right, Phil? That's what it is.
Yeah, same idea. It's like a little house.
That we used to see on HDTV all the time.
Yeah, the tiny houses.
That was it, yeah.
Same idea, and they've kind of rebranded it for a different purpose. But
yeah, I get it.
The difference here, too, is you can get them installed with safety features. Like, they sell different variations.
Right.
You can get, like, slip-resistant floors and extra-wide doorways and rounded countertops,
grab
bars, all that. And you know, they're marketing it toward that senior community who needs some care as an alternative to, again, going into a community or going to
a nursing home.
I think it is a really good idea. Yeah. It's interesting. Again, it's not going to work for everyone. And then, you know, when you go to sell the house one day, I'm curious how people will view that pod in the back.
Right.
I mean, me personally, I would love it. I have many ideas of what I could do with that.
You could, sure.
High-tech pod in the back.
Yeah.
You're
going to
hide from your...
Right. Have your own bar. Whatever you want to do back there. I mean, it sounds
the
fantastic.
Ultimate man cave.
Right?
Yeah.
Well, let's not leave out the woman. It could be a she shed.
That's right.
Whatever you want to purpose it for.
Yeah.
Many things you could use it for.
You know, arts and crafts and pottery back there.
Oh, yeah.
Yoga studio.
Sure. Yep. Yep.
But the great thing, too, is in a situation like this, if a lot of times we're talking to clients about protecting money, right?
Yes.
And we're protecting money from the cost of long-term care, ultimately going into a nursing home or paying for those home health aides. And sometimes people have too much money. And how do we protect it, or how do we spend it down? And this would be a way to do that, because let's say mom or dad's moving in with you. You have them pay for everything related to, they pay for the pod, they pay for the installation, they pay for running the electric and the plumbing and all of that. And in the event that they did need a nursing home in the future, I'm pretty confident that we'd be able to show that as a allowable spend down of the money.
That's great.
Yeah.
Because they're spending it on their own place to live.
It's
right?
for their own benefit.
It's for their own benefit.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, like you said, we've been doing this for a while. You know, I had a client who's doing this, but not with the pod, but she's selling her house, building a house. I mean, not a
full
house.
An extension, probably, right? Or
no, it's a separate building.
Oh, is it?
But she's building it on her son's property.
Okay.
Oh, that's nice.
And she's fine now, but she just wants to do it and get that done ahead of time.
Sure.
To be prepared.
Sure, why not?
So, again, and she has a trust with us, so... That's not really a spend down. I mean, it is a spend down legitimately. It's not really, an unallowed expense.
Right.
I've seen it too, a little different variation where either it's building an extension onto your existing house or building out a space or, you know, redoing a basement to living quarters. And you have mom or dad pay for all of those things. And then in the future, we've had situations where the person does need a nursing home.
Right.
And we've had to explain those expenses, right? Because when they go through that whole five-year look back, Medicaid is typically asking to see any transactions of $2,000 or more, sometimes less, but as a matter of course, $2,000 or more. And obviously, putting an extension on a house, redoing a basement, it's going to be a lot more expensive than that. So we have to explain what all those expenses are for.
Right.
Yeah. And they've accepted it. I think Dave had a case somewhat recently where it was like a significant expenditure. They spent a lot of money doing this. And I think they spent money, if you remember correctly, you remember the conversation, like redoing the kitchen with like marble countertops or something like that, that maybe they went a little overboard.
That's right.
And Medicaid wouldn't accept some of the expenses.
Too many frills, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Not that hot tub over there.
I was thinking of that. Pool in the hot tub, right? Yeah,
therapeutic use, John. I mean, hot tub, you know.
Yeah, that's right.
Physical
therapy. Medicinally, maybe a hot tub would be acceptable.
That's what I mean.
I absolutely think so, yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's some arguments that could be had.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
But that's the idea. I mean, and it seems to work. So I don't think that this granny pod, although it's a separate and apart from the house itself, would be a problem.
And if it is, what I've also done in these cases, like the one I was just talking about, is to have the son and the mom sign a caregiver agreement.
Yeah.
And you can say, equate, you know, what is the cost of the granny pod, right? If it's, mm-hmm. you know, $20,000, right?
Yeah, yeah.
That's in exchange for him agreeing to take care of her on his property for the rest of her life. So yeah. Those work also, lump sum caregiver agreements.
Mm-hmm. I was looking, I think they cost like 100 to 200,000 actually.
Okay.
I think they're pretty expensive.
I was just using a number.
Oh, really?
Yeah. No, I'm just
right.
Because you would think, I don't know how much people think they would cost, but I think it's more of the cost of the installing the electric and the plumbing
right.
and
that's
all that.
Yeah, that would be expensive.
I think you do need contractors to build it. I don't think you can do it on the weekend.
But dare I ask you guys anything about if someone were to do this, property tax?
Yeah.
Insurance?
I'm sure it would affect things like that as well. Those are other considerations, because anytime you're adding living space to your home.
Oh, sure.
It's
going
to increase your property taxes. And
yep.
I'm sure you might need a variation from the I mean, variation.
A
variance. Yeah.
Permit. Right. See from if the it's town. Allowed. Right.
So there's things you have to look into. Same as if you're doing an extension on your house, right?
Right.
If you're adding living space in any way, you have to check with the town to see what the rules and the code is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but generally it's going to just add to the value of your home. I think this type of thing you could use for your young adult children who can't buy a house yet, or if you could rent it out, possibly, if they allow Airbnbs. So there's a lot of things you could use it for.
Those are the purposes for sure. Mm-hmm. And I think you could likely charge your parents rent on top of that as well. It's another way to spend down the money once it's built or on your property still.
Right.
Pay for utilities, things like that. I think it's a good way to spend down the money that would otherwise potentially have to go to long-term care costs.
Yeah, that's right. It's often done that way. Looks like we have a caller.
Yeah, we have Bob from Troy is on the phone. Hey, Bob, how you doing today?
Oh, good. But I have a problem.
Okay.
I'm a client of your firm, and I have a revocable trust.
Okay.
And I tried yesterday to take my executor to the bank so that they could be on my checking account, so if I become incapacitated or die, that they can take money out of my checking account.
Sure, good idea.
Okay, so the bank said I would have to add this person as a trustee to do that.
So how is that account currently owned? Is it owned by you as an individual, or is it owned by the trust?
It's in the trust.
All right. So here's the thing. So when a trust owns an asset, or a trust owns an account, the trust is also the beneficiary of the account. So when you put that account into the revocable trust you're referring to, one of the main purposes was to make sure it passes to beneficiaries through the trust automatically upon your death, outside of probate. The trust is already achieving that. So if you wanted to add this person you're referring to as a beneficiary to receive that particular account, you wouldn't add them to the account itself. We would do an amendment to change the beneficiaries of your trust, because the trust is already avoiding probate when you pass away. If you own the account as an individual, then you had the right idea, because that account, if it was in just your name when you pass away, would have to go through probate to be able to go to that person. So you'd want to either add them to the account, or you'd want to put them as a beneficiary on the account. But since the account is owned by the trust already, we're already avoiding probate. So you would just change the beneficiaries of your trust, which we could help you with.
Okay, so the other part of this is that fairly recently I opened a savings account at the same bank. And I assumed that it was in the trust. And now the bank is claiming it wasn't in the trust, and therefore I could add the executor, which I did. But then I realized this is probably a problem that needs to be fixed. Is that right?
So Bob, we are coming right up to the break. Can you hang on for a moment, and we'll get to your question right when we come back?
Sure.
Very good. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. Join us every week to learn more about protecting the assets you've worked hard for, options available for Medicaid planning, and more. With offices located in Corporate Woods in Albany, Saratoga Springs, and 130 North Front Street in Kingston, our attorneys are here to help you. If you'd like to schedule an appointment to speak with David, Jane Marie, or Phil, please call us during normal business hours Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To contact us in Albany or Saratoga offices, call 518-465-7581 or our Kingston office at 845-338-6405. Let the Herzog Law Firm help navigate a plan that works for you and your family. Now back to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm.
And welcome back. I'm Jane Marie Schaefer.
And I'm Phil Vacchio.
And just before the break, we were talking to Bob and we were answering his questions about bank accounts and trusts. Phil, you want to address
that? Yeah. So Bob, I'll reiterate the question. You tell me if I have it correctly. So we have this revocable trust you created with our firm, and you recently opened up a new savings account that you assumed was in the trust, but the bank is telling you that it's not. Is that correct?
Yes.
So you bring up a good point, because when you have a trust, creating the trust is one step, but funding the trust is a crucial second step. And when we talk about funding the trust, it's actually transferring ownership of accounts into the trust so the trust controls them. This account that you opened, if you went to the bank and you opened it yourself and you told them, you know, my name is Bob and, you know, open the account for me, they're not going to know to open it in the name of the trust. I assume, are you also the trustee of the trust?
Yes.
Yeah, because it's a revocable trust, which is the common scenario. So you would have had to tell the bank at that point to open it in the name of the trust, not in your name. Now, the bank can either potentially change the owner to the trust, or if they won't allow that, they may force you to open a new account in the name of the trust. Alternatively, the same thing you were going to do with that other account that you didn't realize was controlled by the trust, you could add someone as a beneficiary of that account or a joint owner to make it go to them automatically when you pass away. So the two options here are transferring an account into the trust so the trust does control it when you pass away, or adding a joint owner or a beneficiary directly to the account. Does that help answer your question?
Yes, I think so.
Okay. Listen, if anything comes up and you have other issues, feel free to call the office. You're a current client. We're always happy to help.
Okay, thank you.
No problem. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Thanks. Yes, and if you want to call our office, it's 518-465-7581. If you don't want to ask your question on the radio, or it's a more detailed question, you can call our office and come in for consult. As you said, if you're already a client, we, you know, don't charge. We'll talk to you for free, see what's going on.
Right. Yeah. And it's great. We get questions like that a lot, right? Because we create a trust or an estate plan for somebody, and during that consultation and signing, mm-hmm. we do our very, very best to educate them as much as we can, but it is a lot mm-hmm. of information. I mean,
that's right.
We didn't go to law school for no reason, you know, mm-hmm. to study, and we're still learning
right.
as we go, right? Because things change. So I always encourage our clients, if something comes up, if you're going to do anything that you think is related to the trust,
yes.
or especially with the trust, or even your estate plan that we created, just call us first.
Right. If you have any questions, just give us a call.
Yeah.
I know the banks are sometimes difficult to work with.
Or they get confused too as to what right. type of document it is, or what the language means. You know, again, they're not attorneys as well. They mm-hmm. don't do this every day, so
right.
we can't blame them for that. But sometimes we have to just clarify what's allowed, what's not allowed, how to do it. And we're always happy to do that. But I hate to see, sometimes we see where we do certain kinds of trusts mm-hmm. and people just do things on their own mm-hmm. and void the purpose of the trust.
So one that often happens when you're selling property. So mm-hmm. if you have a house in the trust and you're selling it, please give us a call to talk us through what's going on.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can sell your house in a trust. You're not limited, but we want to do it in a certain way as to not, undo the protection of the trust.
The trust is affording. Yeah, even if you're using a different attorney for the sale, you already have an attorney. They may be a real estate attorney solely and not practice in this area. Still feel free to call or check with us first. This is what we're doing. I just want to make sure I'm doing it right. And we're always happy to help in that world. So good call, Bob. Good call. So back to granny pods for a moment, right? So we're talking about this idea of building a separate structure that's allegedly very easy to put together on your property,
right.
And it's a place for parents or a loved one to live with you instead of going to a nursing home. Assisted living. I love the idea. It obviously might not work in every situation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little
That's
bit true. Of an extreme example. But it, again, brings up the good point of there's a lot of times ways to keep someone out of a facility if you get creative. And people don't realize that we can do certain things. And, you know, you don't have to necessarily spend your own money to fix up your house to have one of your parents move in. We can spend their money.
They can take the money. Sometimes the parents take the money from the sale of their house.
Mm-hmm.
And then they'll use it to build something or build an addition onto your house. And, you know, the other benefit of this is we talk a lot about community Medicaid and how you can get care in the home.
Yep.
But if your parent doesn't live near you, who's kind of overseeing that care and looking over the, you know, aides day to day?
Yeah, we see that a lot where we help a family. We get the care in place, which is fantastic. We get it running nice and smoothly with aides and whatnot. But the children or the family members, you know, are still going there almost daily.
They still need to go in and check and get groceries and fill in the gaps on the care.
And there's probably ways around it, but they want to be involved, which is good too. But this is a way to make it even easier to be involved if we can get them that close to you on the same property, if that works for you. Now, it brings up a potential other issue, obviously, right? So let's use my family as an example. I'm one of nine kids.
Oh, boy.
Jay Marie, as you know.
Yes.
When it comes time for my family one day to deal with this, praying it's going to be smooth. But so we have a situation, say, where my parents moved in with me, and we did this idea where we had this granny pod, and they put 200,000 plus potentially into this, right? And technically, it's improving my home.
That's right.
Not my siblings' homes,
That's
my
right.
home, right? So the one potential issue I see sometimes is how is it going to be viewed by the other children? Are they getting the short end of the stick here?
That's And that's why I like the caregiver agreement.
Yeah.
I mean, you're not just doing this to benefit your property value, right? So you're putting back work into this.
You are.
In the exchange. And if any one of your siblings wants to come and do that work.
Right. Go ahead and step up, people.
They could go ahead. But there's often some tension between the caregiver and the rest of the children.
Yeah. And Jane Marie, you brought up something that interests me, the caregiver agreement.
Yes.
Can you maybe elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. So, you know, Medicaid looks at all the transfers of money that you've made to see if there's gifts.
Mm-hmm.
But there's one exception to those gifts, and that's if you have a caregiver agreement with your child. And it could be a monthly amount that you pay them, you know, so if maybe you just move into the house in a spare bedroom
Got
or
it.
Something and
yep.
and your child's watching you,
yeah.
and you could pay them a certain amount of money every month.
Okay.
And Medicaid says that's not a gift because it's if you weren't hiring your daughter, you'd be hiring someone else to do the work for
True.
You.
Okay, yeah. got it. Okay.
Yeah, John, think about it. You're the person that needs care, John. Even though I'm your son, you're the employer, I'm your employee.
Yeah, sure. Oh, yeah,
yeah,
I get it.
We have a formal agreement. And it's what you mentioned, too, Jim Marie, earlier, that you're kind of formalizing the purpose of this transfer of funds.
That's right.
It's not a gift to my child. They are doing a service. It is a burden on them, albeit one that they are voluntarily accepting.
Right.
I'm sure they want to help their parents. But that... Just having it formalized in that way, I think, is going to help the other children.
So the siblings
see.
Have to agree, you know, about this, about the caregiver agreement thing. And
ideally, all the siblings would be on the same page.
Yeah, okay.
Ideally.
Yeah.
Obviously, there's always going to be some that step up
sure.
and say,
oh,
I'm taking advantage. And
yeah, okay.
That's right.
But,
I get it. Okay.
Yeah, no, but it's something that we use quite often. And the other thing, too, is if you truly feel that you are giving one child an advantage by doing so, we can always potentially, if there's other assets, adjust your estate plan accordingly and leave other kids things elsewhere.
Yeah.
So it's something to think about in that vein. But like you said, I mean, the person, the child who's taking that on, it can be a lot. It can be a big change to your life.
Yes, you're doing a lot more work and, you know, it's right that, you know, you should be paid for that work. And think of it that you are also keeping your parent out of a nursing home by doing this.
Yes.
Right? So you're saving money.
You're
not going to charge your parent the nursing home rate, which is $16,000 a month,
yeah.
right? So
we can't do that?
I wouldn't.
Oh, right.
Nice guy.
That's right.
Yeah, but so, I mean, and the other importance of formalizing these things. So I have a lot of clients that will be helping their parents, and they're just say, well, yeah, I was helping them, so they would just, you know, give me cash on the side and this and that, and it'll don't worry, it works out fine, and it's all going to be okay.
Yeah.
And Jane Marie, when is that not okay?
It's not.
Potentially.
That's not okay because Medicaid, if you apply for nursing home Medicaid, they do a very close examination of your bank accounts and records, and they're going to see cash going out to you. Well, they may just see cash withdrawals and not know what it's for.
But can I just say to you, but that was me providing care. You're not going to just believe me?
Not at all.
Yeah, Medicaid's not that. Medicaid knows all the truth. If that was the case, everyone would say that, right? I mean, that's the argument in Medicaid's favor, which I agree with. So you have to provide documentary evidence. Now, what is documentary evidence when you're paying your child to help care for you? Well, that's where that caregiver agreement comes into. We're formalizing that relationship.
Right.
Or even if your parent lives with you and you're quote-unquote charging them rent, but nothing is formalized. Right? There's no written lease agreement or the utilities are not in their name. Mm-hmm. That could be a problem.
That could be. So you could do a lease agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And you just want to make sure that this is all formalized so we can explain why you were paying these amounts to your children.
And you usually can't do it retroactively, because I get that question sometimes. Mm-hmm. Well, I've been helping my parents for the last 3 years. They're going to a nursing home. Mm-hmm. I calculate that they owe me $100,000. Mm-hmm. So they're going to just pay me that. And they're like, no. Mm-hmm. We've tried that. Medicaid does not accept the retroactive payments. It has to be payments made for services rendered at the
time
they're rendered.
That's right.
So you can't do this 3 years down the line and expect to be able to just retro pay.
My favorite client plan is I'm just going to take out cash and stuff it in a box under my bed. So,
you don't think Medicaid is going to question when they see the $100,000 withdrawal?
Yes, that's right.
I mean, if you stuff it under your bed and it's there for more than 5 years, I guess it disappears. unless the house goes on fire, then disappears,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
It's not a good idea either.
Not a great idea. So
no, and when we talk, and a lot of times the family says, well, my mom or my dad is never. Mm-hmm. Never going into a nursing home, which is great. That should be your mindset.
Right. We would love to say that with 100% certainty.
But you can't. Mm-hmm. That's the whole idea. I mean, right. I agree that nursing homes in most cases should try. It's the worst case scenario. It's the last resort. And we do everything we can to avoid that. But sometimes there is no safer, feasible alternative. Mm-hmm. It has to be nursing home care. So when we're talking about plans and helping clients get qualified for community Medicaid, which still, for the time being, has no look back.
That's right. We can still apply right after you set up your trust.
But we don't want to just do it willy-nilly. We don't want to just say, well, transfer everything away and don't worry about what happens to it. Mm-hmm. We still want to do this in a way that we are anticipating a potential need for nursing home care in the future. Mm-hmm. So we talk to our clients about, well, we're transferring money out of the parents' name, but if you need to use it for their purpose in the future, there's a way we do it. We're going to want to transfer some back to mom or dad, have them pay for whatever it is they need. And that way we're always keeping formal records of everything. So if there is a 5-year look back, we are covered.
Yeah, the thing about our plans is we have to be flexible on our feet to change it at any time.
It's always adjusting, right?
Right. So we could start off community, things change, and then we're going to, do a full 180 and figure out something different.
Yeah. You don't want to do something that's going to negatively affect our options in the future. So always looking ahead, always looking at every options. That's our job, Jane Marie.
That's right.
That's what
it is.
Supposed to do.
To be creative in the plans that we come up with.
Yeah, that's the fun part of the job too. I like that stuff, the creative thinking.
So it's kind of a cold, snowy weekend. I would say go online and look at granny pods.
Check them out.
Check them out. See if they're on sale near you.
See what it's about. I don't know if any, I've seen them on Amazon. That's about it. I don't know where else to sell them.
Costco. Yes.
They sell everything.
Have a great weekend.
Thank you for listening to the Estate and Medicaid Planning Show with the Herzog Law Firm. For more information on their services, please visit herzoglaw.com. If you would like to speak with one of their attorneys, please contact the Albany office at 518-465-7581 or their Kingston office at 845-338-6405.